This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
From Brenton Foster and his Nature of Life album. It was all composed by Brenton. The band was Brenton, Tom Jovanovic, Gideon Brazil, Nick Peach, Marty Hollebeck, Aaron McCulloch, and it was recorded at the New Village Studios here in Melbourne, mixed in Adelaide and mastered in London. It's good to have an album that covers the world on its journey. Brenton Foster is an Australian composer and pianist. He was born in Adelaide, resident in Melbourne for a few years now, and I believe he's back in Adelaide again as a resident. He is premiering his brand new work at this year's Melbourne International Jazz Festival, produced as his commission from winning the PBS Young Elder of Jazz competition. He has been described as having an energetic and lyrical playing style, and let's find out if this continues through his new work. Welcome back to the Bent Note Studio at Joy 94.9, Brenton Foster.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you in studio. It was nice to have a chat to you last year before the Nature of Light album was launched, and then it was so pleasing to hear that it won the Age Music Victoria Award.
Well, I just want to say thank you for all your support. In fact, today is the birthday of The Nature of Light, so it was released a year ago today, and I believe that this was the first show that I got to premiere it on and have a discussion about, you know, what I'd been working on for such a long time. So thanks for all the support and the encouragement, and obviously not just for me, but all the other local artists in Melbourne that Bent Notes does such great advocacy for. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, Brenton. We do appreciate that. It's always nice to have artists in and talk to them, and it's nice to know that there is some value there for them to pop in and have a chat about their product, let the listeners know about it, and give you an opportunity to publicise the product,
yep,
so to speak. Were there any lessons you learnt in composing and producing The Nature of Light, that album?
Were there, did you say, sorry?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I think that's kind of the great thing about being an artist is that there are constantly things to learn. And in fact, yesterday there was an industry summit as part of the Stonington Jazz Festival that I was fortunate to be a part of, and that you were obviously an attendee. And I think that was a big part of the day, hearing all the different artists talking about their journey as artists and all the different things you learn along the way. So yeah, I mean, from a creative standpoint, I learnt a lot of things in terms of how I work best while I was writing that album. But then also I learnt a lot of things from the kind of more business side of things about promoting myself and being a bit more proud of my achievements and being willing to kind of sell that to the world. So it's been, yeah, such a great experience releasing that album and seeing how well it's done. And I hope that it's kind of given me lots of skills to kind of move on to the next project.
So in saying that you've got the lesson there of being able to step out and promote yourself, did you find it difficult to promote yourself before this album?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's kind of always a surface level for artists where they can sort of proudly play their instrument and display their talents in that way. But when it comes time to actually say, hey, my name's Brenton Foster and I have this really great album that I'm incredibly proud of and I think you should listen to it because you will like it, that's another sort of thing to work on. And it's certainly a skill that I think a lot of Australian artists maybe don't have as much as, you know, some American counterparts, having spent a little bit of time there. And so I think that's sort of been one aspect that I've tried to really work on a bit, which The Nature of Light really helped with.
Why is it that artists don't feel that confidence in their product to be able to put their hand up and say, hi, I'm Brenton Foster, listen to my album?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's an Australian thing of the tall poppy syndrome or something like that. That, you know, you don't want to be too too proud of yourself sometimes, but I think that a lot of artists can be much more proud of their works, and certainly I was one of those.
Pleased to hear that you're moving forward and learning that lesson. As a working musician, you have to make decisions about how you create your music and then produce and promote the product. Putting all that together, what is the most difficult part of that entire process?
That's a good question. I think there's lots of... I think it's always a case of like priorities. So you can't do everything as an independent artist. So you have to kind of prioritize one aspect of it more than others. And I think it's always fun doing the creative things and making the music and playing the music. I think it's a sort of a fine tuning of which parts to kind of concentrate on more in terms of the creative and the business aspects of it. So I don't know if that answered your question at all, but that's maybe the thing.
So talking about business, which is what the round table was, or what the Jazz Summit was doing yesterday, and the round table discussing it later in the afternoon, the opportunities are out there for the likes of yourself as a younger musician. Mm. What is it that you need from the schools, the colleges, the unis, just the industry perhaps, that would help a young musician?
Yeah. Look, I think, and maybe it's very different because I'm getting older now, David, so I've been out of the jazz school for a little while, but at least when I was there, there wasn't much in the way of kind of teaching musicians about any sort of more business approach to their practice. So it's you know, very much deals with the creative side of things and learning the skills to be a musician, but not necessarily learning the skills to have a career as a musician. So I think that's maybe something that could be incorporated into teaching.
Sounds a little bit like a aspect I heard on radio the other day. Someone was being interviewed about why schools don't teach the basics of how to live life, how to go and buy yourself a Mikey card and how to run that and how to count change. Mm. Was one of the items that came up, that a practicality of life that is not taught as such.
Okay.
It was a very interesting interview. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
My guest on Bent Notes tonight is pianist, bandleader and composer Brenton Foster, the winner of the PBS Young Elder of Jazz, where the commission that has been awarded results in a performance at this year's Melbourne International Jazz Festival. Brenton, why did you enter the competition?
I think most composers would love the opportunity to have a commissioned work, and especially to be part of the festival as great as the Melbourne International Jazz Festival. I think this is maybe the 8th year of it now, or the 7th year, I should probably know that. But there have been some really amazing Melbourne musicians that have won the commission previously. So it's a great honour to be, I guess, in the lineage of such great musicians.
When you were thinking about applying, what was it that you thought you could offer as an applicant in this situation?
I just had a really great idea that I was really excited about, which I then was fortunate enough to receive the commission for, and now I get to see that to its fruition. But I think a really great part of applying for these commissions is that you know do get to think about different projects that you'd like to be part of, and it's very exciting when you actually get to spend a little bit of time writing about what you would like to spend the next 6 months of your life, you know, working towards. And yeah, so it should be really fun.
Is the commission ready to go?
Very, very close. So we had a rehearsal for it yesterday, which was the first rehearsal, and I'm pleased to say that it really went well. And for somebody that's been spending a lot of time with it just on my own at the piano, it was nice to finally hear some real instruments playing all these parts that I had in my head, and yeah, it was awesome. So
when you're putting something like that together, you're listening to your own mind and your own interpretation of how the notes on the piano might sound, like a clarinet here or a sax somewhere else. When you got into that performance, into the rehearsal, did it sound the way you had imagined?
Yeah, largely, which is very exciting. And I'm very lucky that I do get to write with some specific players in mind. So I've worked a lot with Aaron Jordan. Sorry, I should say their full names. Aaron McCullough on drums, Jordan Tarento on the bass, and Gideon Brazil on the saxophone, bass, clarinet and flute. I've worked with those three guys a lot over the last several years. I'm very pleased to be joined by Stephen Magnusson on guitar for this performance, and I've listened and admired Steve's playing for such a long time. So I had these very specific sounds in mind that I was writing for. So it's really kind of a nice way to write, where I'm imagining these particular players playing this stuff. So when I got to hear them playing it yesterday, it sort of came out exactly as I had sort of intended and hoped for.
It's called Love As We Know It. What's the theme?
So it's a song cycle or a collection of songs based on love, but I've maybe tried to, not necessarily deliberately, steer away from having eight songs that are about the same facet of love. So I guess it's sort of dealing with love coming from a few different spots. So there's you know, songs that are dealing with love for the natural world and dealing with love equality and dealing with a love for the shared human experience. So I've tried to sort of have a few different, I guess, influences or inspirations for the songs. And I think that the music kind of reflects that, which I'm really pleased with.
That's good to hear that you think it's done the right thing, because if that's where it is at the moment, you've got another couple of weeks until Friday the 1st of June.
Yep.
And where are you performing?
Performing at Jazz Lab.
Right. So, beautiful room.
Yes, love playing there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Vocals?
Yes, there are vocals on this one. So I'm singing. So if you're liking the dulcet tones on the radio right now, then imagine them singing. But yeah, so that should be really exciting as well, because I do love to sing, and I haven't done so like in public performances for quite a long time now. So, but I do actually have an album that I recorded at the end of last year with some songs, some standard songs, which I'll be releasing later this year as well. And then I'm looking forward to recording this album or this new work, Love As We Know It, later in the year. But as part of the PBS commission as well, the performance is recorded. So it will be broadcast on PBS the following week in a rival jazz program called Jazz on Saturday. So it will be broadcast and people can actually tune in if they're not able to make the performance, which of course I encourage them to attend live, but it will be broadcast and they can hear the singing and the songs then.
Fantastic. All the songs are vocals, or have you got a combination?
Yes, currently all of them are vocals.
Excellent.
So providing I don't forget any words, they will continue to be so.
You'll continue to get through. And look, if you do happen to forget the words, just go on with something that comes to your mind at that point in
time.
Sounds good. You've heard the Ella Fitzgerald album of, or a track of Mac the Knife over in Berlin. She forgot all her words and she just made them all up.
Oh, there you go.
And it was the best album or the best track ever. And there's something that you've been doing as part of the Melbourne International Jazz Festival is putting some words together about the album challenge, which has appeared on the festival's website. What's the album challenge all about?
So for any of your listeners that have, you know, been on Facebook in the last couple of months, I'm sure they would have heard or seen their friends listing 10 albums that have influenced them. This is just an extension of that. So I sort of wrote about some albums that have inspired me. Yeah, so it's nothing more than that, really. But people can go onto the Melbourne Jazz website and have a look at some of the artists that that have maybe helped shape my musical aesthetic.
Which is your favourite album?
Oh, that's a hard question. I think there's lots, but probably if I had to pick one off that list that probably serves the most enduring inspiration, it would be either Herbie Hancock's "Speak Like a Child" or Brad Meldow's Largo album. So both of those albums have been such big influences on me as a composer and a performer.
What is it that you as a musician gets out of these albums when you listen to them?
I think that's it's another thing that's kind of hard to explain, but I think with all of them, it's always just a feeling that you get when you listen to it. So I remember the first time I listened to Brad Meldow's Highway Rider album, which is another album on the list there. And I remember I was actually just washing the dishes at the time and this track came on and I was listening to it and I just had to stop what I was doing. And it was just such a like heart-stopping moment. The music was just so incredible. So I think it sort of helps to remind you of a particular time and place and an emotion that comes with it.
And what's the importance of, in this case, the PBS Young Elder of Jazz, what's the importance of that type of commission, wherever it comes from, to you as a musician?
Obviously, it gives me the ability to write some music without, you know, without worrying about finances. That sort of is aided with the commission. But more than that, it really serves as a very valuable contribution to my career by having such a supportive organisation such as PBS support me in the creation of new work, and also I guess gives me a sense of validation that, you know, I'm on the right path and I'm doing the right things to hopefully have a really great sustainable career as a composer and a performer, and as I said, sharing that lineage of really great Melbourne fellow composers.
Brenton, thank you so much for dropping in. Best of luck for Friday, the 1st of June 2018.
Thank you very much.
It's at the Jazz Lab. Tickets and more information are available from melbournejazz.com, the Melbourne International Jazz Festival, and that information about the 10 albums is also there on the Melbourne International Jazz Festival website. So, Brenton, thank you again for coming in. Look forward to hearing more from you time goes by, and don't forget Bent Notes when these new albums come out.
Of course, you'll be the first to get them.
We'd love to have you in.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.